Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 2, and 2 Timothy 2. I've been off and on doing a series on Sunday nights having to do with just righteousness. And how many of you would agree with me that as Christians, we are constantly bombarded with Satan's lies in this world system? Do you agree with that? We are constantly bombarded with Satan's lies. And, it's something that every single day, the battle is for the mind. The battle's for the mind. And so if we feed our mind on Satan's lies, then of course we begin to live by those principles and we begin to live by those lies. But on the other hand, if we saturate our minds with God's truth, then we can begin to live by God's principles. The battle is indeed for the mind. And so that's definitely where the battle lies. That's why the Bible says we need to renew our mind every day. We need to be renewing our minds with truth. Romans 12:2. Renew means to reprogram. Reprogram your thinking. Reprogram your mind. Because all of us in here, unless we were saved as a very young child, we've been out there and we've been inundated with Satan's lies. We've been inundated with the world system's philosophy. And so there's some reprogramming, if you will, that has to take place after we get saved. So we have to saturate our minds with the truth of God, because the Holy Spirit that lives within us takes the Word of God to transform us to be like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor Dan, that sounds great, but how do I do that? How do I saturate my mind with truth? That's a great question. And the Bible actually lays out several different ways. And each thing that I share with you, and I've already given you the first two in a previous message, I'll just review them real quickly. But each of the things that I give you will take God's word deeper into your mind and into your heart. And so we began to talk about this. And as we think about this thing of embedding God's truth in us, the first way that we can do that, the first way that we feed our minds with truth is by hearing the word of God. And I had a new member that I was meeting with, and he just has a heart to want to grow. And he was sharing with me that he's a young fella. He said, I listen to probably two or three messages online a day, he said. And that's awesome. I mean, he's just feeding and saturating his mind with truth as he listens to it. And that's certainly a viable way to get God's truth in you, is to hear the Word of God. Hear it taught by other teachers. Hear it taught by pastors. Hear it taught by, you know, life group leaders. Hear it taught in Bible studies. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. And so certainly hearing the Word of God is extremely, extremely important. And that's why God gives the church pastors and teachers, is so that we can grow and be equipped for the work of the ministry and grow in God's word. So that definitely is very important, to hear God's word. But then number two, we said the second way that we can feed our minds with truth is by reading the word of God. Reading the word of God. Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading. To reading. Pay attention. Give attendance. That means pay attention. Apply yourself to reading. And so we need to read the Word of God. Every time that the Pharisees or the scribes would ask Jesus a question, many, many times he would start out the answer by saying, have you not read? Have you not read? And he's talking about the Bible. And what he's basically saying is, guys, you ought to know the answer to that question. You know, if you're reading your Bible, you ought to know the answer to that question. And that's what he said. Have you not read? You know, you're Pharisees. You're supposed to be religious leaders. And he says, haven't you read that in the Bible? You guys ought to know the answer to that question. And I am convinced that a lot of the questions and a lot of the problems in life that we have questions about could be cleared up by simply, consistently reading God's word, just reading the Bible. You know, Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that readeth. So one of the greatest habits that you can establish in your life is to read God's Word daily. One of the greatest things you could teach your kids is to read God's Word every single day. But I wanna go a little bit deeper, okay? You got listening to it, hearing the Bible, that's great. You've got reading the Bible, but there's a little bit of a deeper level that I wanna take you. And that's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's look at that, 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, and what's the very first word? Say it real loud. What is it? Study. Study. And by the way, in the context, what's he talking about studying here? The Bible, right? The Word of God. Let's look at it. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the Bible called there? Oops, I almost yanked that out. What is the Bible called there? It's called the what? The Word of Truth. And that's what we're talking about, is saturating our minds with truth. Why? So that we will begin to live by the truth and not live by Satan's lies. We have to saturate our mind with the truth. Now, listen, studying is a more intense way of embedding God's truth in our minds than simply listening to somebody else read the Bible or listening to somebody teach the Bible. It's deeper than even us reading, giving it a quick surface reading. When we study God's Word, it's penetrating deeper into our mind, deeper into our soul, deeper into our being, deeper into our heart. If I could give you a kind of a analogy, reading the Bible gives you breath. Studying the Bible gives you depth. Reading is going to give you breath, and there's a place for that. We need to have the breadth of the Bible. We need to know and be familiar with the Bible and get the overview of it and get the big picture of it. And man, that's important. You know, we need to have the big picture of the different books of the Bible. Pastor Rich, you do a great class, I know, on the Old Testament, where you give kind of the big picture of every single book, you know, and he goes through all the different books of the Bible, gives you the big, that's important. And as you read through the Bible, you're going to kind of get that big picture. You're going to get breadth. But as you study the Bible, that's where you're going to go down deeper and get some depth to you. It's kind of like an illustration I could give you would be, you know, trees. And we had hurricanes here in the past, and that's part of Florida, is every once in a while you get a hurricane, you know. And 1 year we had three. Y'all remember that? And it's funny, a lot of people moved away and said they couldn't deal with it. We've never had one since. Isn't that amazing? But that was, what, 11 years ago? And people moved, and I can't deal with this. And we're like, hey, calm down. It probably won't happen again for 10 years. Yeah, right. Well, it's been 11, you know. So anyway, I don't want to leave over the hurricanes. Do you? And you know what I found out? I lived in the Midwest. Guess what you have there? Tornadoes. At least you know a hurricane's coming, amen? Yeah, tornado, there's not much warning, let me tell you. But I don't know how I got on all that. How'd y'all get me off on that? Anyway, trees. We're talking about trees. And, you know, some trees are the type of tree that they've kind of got like surface roots. And they do have roots, but they're surface roots. They're kind of higher up. They kind of maybe go along the top of the soil. And they're just kind of like surface roots. And then when the storms come, heavy storms like the hurricanes, what happens to those trees? They fall. They fall very easily. Right. And then you get certain trees that have very, very deep roots. The roots go down deep into the soil. And so when the winds and the storms come, they stand. The deeper the root, the better. And in the same way, when you read the Bible, that's great, and it does give you that breadth, but studying the Bible is going to give you depth. Studying the Bible sinks those roots down deeper. Now, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, look at it, church. Look at it again. All right? Everybody kind of read that to yourself. 2 Timothy 2:15, look at it. Now, then I want to ask you a question. All right? You got it? According to that verse, is God pleased when we study the Bible? Yes. It says that we have to study to show ourselves what? So would y'all agree that studying is a command? Yeah, it's something that we should be doing as Christians. And I'm not telling you every day you got to spend an hour studying the Bible. I'm not trying to set a legalistic command here to you of, that's not what it says, so I would be adding to the Bible to say that. And so I'm not telling you that you've got to spend an hour every morning studying the Bible, or you got to spend an hour at night, or you got to spend an hour, period. I'm just saying that there needs to be some studying going on of the Bible in your life, because it's commanded. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Study. And then he says, you do it to show yourself approved unto God. It's important to God that we do this. And then he says, when you do that, you're a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed. And then he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. And, you know, as you study the Bible, there's two different ways you can go about it. You can study the Bible topically, or you can study it verse by verse. You could do it either way. And again, there's not a legalistic command on that. Main thing is that you're just in it and you're studying it. When you study something topically, that just simply means that you're going to choose a topic and you're going to study that topic out throughout the Bible. Maybe that topic may be, Brother Wade is teaching a topical series on the life of Abraham. And that's awesome, you know, or maybe you do Daniel, or maybe you do the life of Paul. But, you know, a topical study may be a Bible character. You may do a topical Bible study on a certain command in the Bible, like, you know, forgiveness. And you're going to study out the issue of forgiveness throughout the Bible. Maybe you're going to study a Bible subject, like what we're doing right now. We're studying the subject of righteousness. And so you may pick a Bible subject and say, you know, I'm going to study that out and see what the Bible has to say about that. I'm sure there are subjects in your life that you're very curious about. And you wonder, well, what does the Bible say about that? And there's two ways to go about finding out, right? You can either find out what the Bible says about a subject by emailing Pastor Dan and saying, what does the Bible say about that? Or you could what? You can study it, right? You can study it. And the good thing is there's lots of great resources. I'll talk about that in a minute that you can use to study. There's a lot of good resources for you. I mean, man, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Now, the other way to study the Bible is not just topically, but you can study verse by verse. That's kind of where you choose a book of the Bible, and if you're just starting, I would recommend a shorter book, you know. Don't pick a 50-chapter book and get discouraged, all right? Or say, I'm going to study verse by verse the book of Psalms. You know, there's 150 chapters. So, you know, you may get a little discouraged. So pick a shorter book and say, I'm going to study that book. Maybe it's 2 Timothy, the book we're in right now. It's just 4 chapters. I'm going to study that book. Or maybe it's Titus, it's 3 chapters. Or Philemon's 1 chapter, or Jude. But you say, I'm going to study that book of the Bible, and I'm going to go through it. I'm going to go through it verse by verse, and I'm going to really study out the verses as I go. And so there's two ways to go about it. You can do topical study or your verse by verse study. Now, just a couple things here, and this is what I wanted to mention to you. As you're studying the Bible, what that means is this. You're not just giving it a casual, quick reading. What you're doing, you're not trying to just simply, you know, see how many verses you can read today. Sometimes it's better to slow down and work on quality rather than quantity. Rather than saying, hey, I'm going to read 10 chapters of the Bible today, no, it's maybe I want to work on 2 verses. You know, I'm going to study this book of the Bible, and today I'm just going to work on 2 verses. And I want to really endeavor to understand what those 2 verses mean. And so you're just going to slow down, and you're not worried about quantity. Studying means I'm worried more about quality. And there's a place for both, but studying, like I said, is where you're digging in and you're working on quality. You really want to understand what the verses say. So how do you do that? Well, if you're going to understand a verse, would you guys agree with me you need to understand what the words mean? Right. Are there resources for you to understand what words mean? Aren't we blessed? I mean, those of you that have the internet, right? You got the web. You got it right at your fingertips. You can go to Merriam-Webster.com. You can download eSword, which is a Bible study tool, completely free. And you can have Strong's Concordance, which is going to define every word for you. They'll also give you a free resource of a Webster's Dictionary. I think it's 1828? Right. Yeah. And so that kind of gives you the meaning of the words closer back to when it was written. And so you want to pay attention to the context. Pay attention to each word. Make sure you understand what the words mean, you know. You want to analyze the context of the verses. And, you know, look at the verses right before it and right after it. You're not necessarily studying them. You know, you're studying maybe these two, but I'm going to read what it says right before it. I'm going to read what it says right after it. I want to know who wrote the book. I want to know who it's written to. Again, there's great Bible study tools to help you with that. You know, one of the things I love is I have a Bible dictionary. And you can get a Bible dictionary. Of course, you can get them online now. But I've got a hard copy of a Nelson's Bible Dictionary. And I love it. It's got every person, every place. It's got an outline of every book of the Bible. It's fabulous. And you know, you can get, you have available, like I said, Strong's Concordance. You can have English dictionaries. You can do all these. You got all, I mean, eSword is a great resource. And if you wonder, what's he talking about, eSword? I don't even know what that is. It's a great Bible study resource tool. And Pastor Rob knows so much about that. And he can give you great insight on that and how to download that on your computer and how to have that available. But this one I'm talking about studying now, all right? You're going a little deeper here. We're not just going to read it. We're going to study it. We're going to figure out what this stuff means, you know? And we're going to think about how it applies to our life. When we study the word of truth, we're saturating our mind with truth. We're letting God's truth penetrate deep into the recesses of our mind. I use an illustration of this, the difference between a tourist and an explorer. You know, if you're a tourist, what do you do? You travel quickly, you're wanting to hit the high spots, you're wanting to hit the notable things, you know, the stuff that's publicized, the points of interest that are really noticeable. And, you know, you're a tourist. You're moving quickly, you're just trying to kind of see a little bit of everything, all that you can. But an explorer is someone who is there for the long haul, and they're exploring this geographical area, and they're searching out everything they possibly can. They're digging in deep into the soil. They're exploring. And I think that many times we read the Bible like a tourist. You know, we're just kind of flying through it and hitting the high spots. And then many times what happens is we say, well, I'm not getting anything out of the Bible, you know, and my devotion time is fruitless, and I'm just not really getting anything out of it, and I know I'm supposed to read the Bible, but I'm not getting anything out of the Bible. And many times, like I said, it's because we're treating it like a tourist instead of an explorer. And I think some of you maybe, this is easy to happen, you get burned out sometimes reading the Bible. Because you think, man, I'm reading it, but I'm really not getting a lot out of it. I'm just kind of reading it, but I'm not understanding it. And so then you kind of quit, and you get discouraged, and you stop. And what will bring that excitement and that zeal back to you, as far as your Bible goes, is start studying. Get some. If you want to know some good resource tools, ask. Any of our pastors will be glad to help you. We'd be thrilled to be asked that question. Hey, how can I study the Bible better? You know, and man, that's a great question to ask. You know, and we'd be glad to give you some ideas for some resources. And you know, and so, you know, that might bring that zeal back to you, as if you really begin, like I said, not to work at, okay, I got to read a chapter today, or I got to read two chapters, but no, I'm going to slow down, and if I only get through one verse today, I'm going to endeavor to understand, you know, what that verse says and what it means in my life, and begin to be like an explorer rather than a tourist. So we got three things I've gone over. Number one is that you hear the Bible. That's great. Number two is you read the Bible. He said, give attendance to reading. That's great. That's awesome, too. You read it. That gives you the breath. Then we said, number three, study. Study the Bible. That's where you're digging in. You're not really worried about breath. You're worried about getting some depth and really digging in your roots a little bit deeper. But there is a fourth level that's going to take you even to a deeper level as you spend time with God's Word and as you saturate your mind with truth. And that is by number four, is by memorizing the Word of God. You know, scientists, of course, tell us that we have millions upon millions upon millions of brain cells in the average mind. Most people, they say, only use 10% of the brain's potential. Most people use 10% of the brain's potential. Before the use of notepads and handy writing materials, people developed the habit of remembering much of what they heard, because it was the only way that they had of recalling things from the past that they needed. And some people have kind of picked up on this lost art of memorizing. And I have seen people memorize scripture and grow very, very rapidly in their spiritual life. One quote I read said, "Nothing pays greater dividends for the time invested than writing God's word on the tablets of the heart." You will take giant steps forward spiritually as you begin to memorize the Bible. And I know some of you right away, you throw up your hands and you say, "Oh no, I cannot memorize. I have a mental block, Pastor Dan, and I cannot memorize." Only in rare instances is that really true. Most of the time, the problem is not a mental block, it's an ambition block. Because most people who say they can't memorize can tell you the phone numbers of their 10 friends and can give you, you know, addresses of this and that, you know, and so, you know, it's hard work. I'm telling you, it's hard work. I've memorized a lot of scripture, a lot. And I've memorized whole books of the Bible before. And it's hard work. You know, you got to work at it. But it really pays great dividends to your spiritual life. And it's an incredible method of Bible study. As you memorize, you're mulling it over. What are some advantages? Go to Psalm 119. I just want to show you a little, and I'm not going to be long tonight, but go to Psalm 119, and let's look at a few verses here. Psalm 119, and let's look here at a verse that is a key verse. Talking about memorizing, all right? Psalm 119, and look at verse number 11. Psalm 119:11. All right, let's all say it together. You ready? Say it with me. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The only way to hide the word in your heart, I think, is you got to memorize it. You got to know it. It's got to be there, you know? And he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, when you memorize scripture, it's going to help give you victory over sin. Nothing will put the brakes on temptation to sin like the word of God tucked away in your mind. The red light of God's word flashing in our minds is often enough to help us. Each time that you heed the word of God and you reject that inclination to sin, then you strengthen your spiritual life. And you make it easier to refuse sin the next time. Am I right, Pastor Shannon? I mean, you teach the addictions class on Monday night, and I know this is something you emphasize, is that you got to get the Word of God in you. You know, you have to get that Word in you, because it's that Word of God inside of you that's going to, as he said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And if you have that Word in you to draw from, because a lot of times you get faced with temptation, you don't have a Bible under your arm. You don't have a Bible with you, you know? And so you got to have it here, because you don't have a written copy of God's word right in front of you or handy. And so therefore, you got to be ready. You know, you got to have that in your heart right then. And every time then that you pull that out of your heart and you use that verse and the Holy Spirit brings it to mind and you overcome that temptation, then it makes it easier to refuse that sin the next time. You know, victory over some sin is not instantaneous. Not every sin you're going to get instant victory over when you get saved. There are certain sins that it's a kind of a gradual thing. It's a gradual process. And it happens as you memorize scripture. It speeds up that process, you know, to overcome that. I think, you know, all of us in here tonight would, if we were honest, you know, there's a certain sin or sins that even though we've been saved for a while, it gives us fits. It gives us problems, you know. And maybe it's a sin, an attitude type sin, or it's a sin of gossip or a sin of this or that. And we have these things, you know. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger. You know, maybe it's unforgiveness. Having malice in our heart. And there's all these different things. Envy, you know. So these things that we struggle with, well, as we memorize Scripture, we speed up that process of being able to overcome that. And there's been many a defeated, enslaved Christian who has turned into a spiritual giant for God by simply learning the Word of God, memorizing Scripture, and hiding it in their heart. I think that Pastor Shannon would agree with me that anybody can overcome sin. Amen? Anybody can overcome sin. Y'all believe that tonight? Amen? But it's not going to happen apart from truth. You got to get truth inside of you. And memorizing is a great way to do that. It really is. Not only that, let's go to another verse real quick. I want you to go to keep your bookmarker. We're going to go back to Psalm, I think. But I want you to go to Colossians real quick. Let's run over there to Paul's book of Colossians, chapter 3. Hiding God's word in your heart, memorizing Scripture, not only will help give victory over sin, but it'll also help you overcome worry. Look at Colossians chapter number 3 and look at verse number 15. It'll help you overcome worry. And again, you know, we live in a sin-cursed earth, man. There's a lot to worry about. And you know what? There's a lot to worry about in life. I mean, there really is. There's a lot you can worry about. Hey, listen, if you want to worry yourself to death, just watch the news, amen? Just watch the news all the time, and you'll become, you know, that way, fearful and worried. And again, I'm not against watching the news, but there are times, I think, when we would be better served to turn the news off and get in the Bible, you know, and just memorize Scripture. And just turn that business off and say, you know what? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. 20 years ago, the news wasn't any better than it is right now, was it? You know, and so, you know, we can worry ourselves sick with stuff. We really can. There's so much to worry about. And in Colossians 3, look at verse number 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule, where? In your hearts, to the which also you are called. You're called to this peace. See? And verse 16 says, notice the key here. How am I going to let the peace of God rule my heart? Let the word of Christ dwell where? In you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Worry and anxiety and fear are very natural to human beings. I want you to know it's natural to worry. It is extremely natural to worry as human beings. And that's why God's word is replete with things like fear not. The Bible is replete with things like let not your heart be troubled. The Bible is replete with things like be not afraid. But those commands and those promises of peace have little value if they're not cemented in your mind when you need them. When you need them. When, you know, so that you can pull that out of the filing cabinet of your heart and have it there. You know, when we're tempted to panic and we're tempted to fret and wring our hands, all of a sudden, if we've memorized this verse, look back one book, just a couple pages to Philippians chapter 4. And you know, you're tempted to worry, but you've memorized some Scripture and the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. The Holy Spirit can't bring to your heart and mind what's not there. The Holy Spirit ain't going to magically bring a verse to your mind. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be there. You got to put it in at some point. And so look at Philippians 4:6. Be careful. My previous point about study, if I was studying, I'd look that word up. I'd look it up in an old English dictionary, like a Webster's 1828. I'd look that up in my Strong's Concordance. And if I scrolled over that word careful in Esword, it's going to tell me that word careful isn't probably what I think of careful today. We think of careful as, oh, Pastor, be careful. Your foot's hanging off that step right there. You know, be careful you don't trip and fall. That's not what that means. That word careful, if you look it up, if you're studying, you look up the word careful. And you find out that it means to be worried, to be anxious, to be fearful. And he says, be careful for nothing. And then look at it. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we're tempted to worry, if we've memorized that passage, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your mind and he'll help you. You see, memorizing scripture helps you get victory over sin, helps you overcome worry. But number three, it gives you confidence in sharing your faith with other people when you memorize scripture. You have more confidence sharing your faith with others. Look with me real quickly at go to Colossians, since you're right there. Colossians again, chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. 1 Peter 3:15 kind of says the same thing. Peter says there in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Paul says, know how you ought to answer every man. Well, the only way to do that is I got to put some scripture inside of me. You know, once you come to know Christ, I think y'all would agree with me that once you come to know Jesus, you have this natural desire to want to see other people come to Christ. Would y'all agree? Amen? You just want to see other people get saved. But fear is the most common deterrent in witnessing. What will I say? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they ask me something I don't know? And so fear keeps us from speaking up for Christ. That's not going to be as prone to hold you back, though, if you're in the habit of memorizing scripture, memorizing key verses. You don't have to be an extrovert. You do not have to be a great debater or a great Bible theologian to be a good witness for Christ. You simply have to take the Bible, commit some key verses to your memory to be effective. You know, I was reading a story about a guy, and this particular fella, he was a sailor. And he was on a boat, and he was a brand new Christian. This guy was a brand new Christian. And there was a fellow that was bunking next to him that was into Judaism. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. He rejected everything about Christians. And so this brand new convert was assigned to bunk next to this unbeliever. And so this unbeliever caught this new Christian memorizing three verses a week. This guy was in a men's Bible study, and they challenged the guys to memorize three verses a week. So this young new Christian is memorizing his three verses a week. And they would get into discussions. And this young Christian, he did not know hardly anything about, you know, all the different arguments, and he didn't know any of the Christian arguments. And so this other unbeliever would taunt him and would kind of, you know, use sarcastic barbs, and he would try to ask him questions. And all the young convert didn't know any of the answers. He didn't know all the little sharp Christian things to say. All he knew was the Bible verses he was memorizing. So every time the unbeliever would say something to him, he'd just respond with a Bible verse. He'd say, I don't know, but the Bible says, and he'd give him a verse. You know, well, the Bible says, and he'd quote a verse. This guy was bunking right next to him. Well, 10 months of that on a boat, the guy that was an unbeliever, he could not stand it anymore. He had to bow before the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. True story. That guy ended up getting saved. Hey, you know what? God's word will not return void. Amen? And so you can't go wrong when you give people the Bible. You give them your opinion, it may not be too effective, you know? And you may win the argument, but you end up, you know, you end up losing the battle. But you know what? You give them the Bible, you cannot go wrong with that. You give them the scripture, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says. You can't go wrong. You know, if you're a Christian and you're going out into the world and you have no scripture in your mind, you have no scripture in your heart, it's like a soldier going to war without a weapon. You know, it's not good. Go to 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me just share maybe one more point with you here about what memorizing scripture will do for you. 2 Corinthians 5, and look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we are to be transformed and to walk as new creatures, it does not happen overnight. Memorizing scripture, though, will speed up the process remarkably, because the secret to transformation, the secret to life transformation, is renewing your mind through the Word of God. Romans 12:2, right? Isn't that what it says? Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so it's an absolute key. You speed up that transformation process by memorizing scripture. The more scripture you incorporate into your life, hide it in your heart, the faster that you will conform your life to the wisdom of God that the Bible teaches. And so, you know, I just want this to be an encouragement to you. And there's some other things I had here. It helps you follow God's will. You know, the Bible says that thy word is a light, right, unto my path. You know, your word is a light unto my path. And it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Order my steps in your word. You know, if we're going to follow God's will for our life, if we're going to make good decisions, you're going to have a lot better chance of doing that if you're memorizing scripture and hiding it in your heart. And so we got four different levels of learning and saturating your mind with truth. Listening to the Bible, that's great. And there's a place for that, right? Because when you're heading to work, if you got a 30-minute drive to work, I would not recommend reading the Bible while you're driving to work. Okay? I wouldn't recommend trying to do your Bible study on the drive to work, all right, if you're driving. So that's a great place to listen to the Bible. Redeem the time. Put on a good Bible message. You know, download something maybe from our website and listen to the Bible. Redeem the time. There's a place for that. There's a right here, right now, tonight, we're doing that. So you hear the Bible. That's great. But then a deeper level is you begin to read the Bible. You begin to pick it up, take the dust off of it, right, and say, I'm going to open up and I'm going to read it. And that gives you breath. But then the next level is to study. I'm not worried about quantity. I'm going to dig in. If I just get through one verse, I'm going to study that verse, and I'm going to know what it means, and I'm going to send some roots down, and I'm going to get some depth. I'm going to study the Word. But then even a deeper level is when you memorize the Word. And you begin to take the Bible, and you repeat it over and over and over in your mind, in your heart, until you've memorized it. And it's part of you. It's part of your inner being. By the way, once you hide the Word in your heart, your mind's a computer. It's always there. It's always there. Now, you may not always be able to quote it verbatim and by memory, but it's there. It is there. And, you know, one of the things with our kids we did was, you know, teach them to memorize scripture growing up. And I tell you, one of the things that we've talked about is that, you know, Clint, we didn't have Awana. And so Clint, man, there were just verse after verse after verse that he could just quote. We'd give him the verse, boom, he'd quote it. Give him the verse, boom, he'd quote it. You know, and we were just hiding the Word in his heart. We wanted him to memorize it. We wanted him to know it. And then our kids came up through Awana, our other ones, and memorized Scripture too, and we worked with them on that. Very, very important for children to get that Word. By the way, I'm going to tell you this. we would, you know, one of the problems with Christian, with the Christian faith right now is that we're losing our kids. When they get to be 18, 19 years, I'm going to tell you exactly what, I was talking to Rob about that this week, Pastor Rob, our youth pastor. And I said, here's what typically happens in America, is that a teenager gets to be 16, and what do they want? They want a car. And so the parents say, well, if you're going to have a car, you're going to have to pay the insurance and pay the gas. So you got to get a what? Job. Which takes them out of what? Church, typically. I don't know many businesses that hire 16-year-olds, and the 16-year-old go and say, but I got to have off Sunday. And they say, oh, no problem. Most of the time that doesn't happen. So now they're out of church. So 16, 17, 18 years old, they're not in church very much. They're not faithful to youth group. And then they go to college. What do you think they get hit with at college? Anything ungodly you can think of. Every single humanistic philosophy, evolution, and you are an absolute absurd moron if you're a Bible-believing Christian. All right? I know. And I'm not saying every single person's that way. I'm just telling you, that's what they get hit with. And that's when we lose them. We lose them. Now, hopefully they'll come back, but here's my point. Is, you know what? I believe that we would lose less of our kids if we were hiding God's word in their heart. If we were getting scripture embedded in their heart and in their mind, it would give them a resource to combat the humanism that they're hearing when they get out there. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you've got little kids, think through some of that before they get there. Think through some of those things, all right? Think through, what do you want to happen when they get to be 16 or 17 or 18 or 19 or 20? Think through it now. Have a plan now for how you're going to protect them from the humanistic things that are out there. And have a plan, you know? And for one thing, man, keep them in church under the sound of the Word of God. And don't let anything and everything else end up taking them away from church. Keep them in church. Keep them under the sound of the word. Let them know that's the priority in our life. You know, when they're little, hide that scripture in their heart. Memorize scripture with them. Take the time to do that. And then, of course, adults, we need to do that in our own life. Can I get an amen? Huh? Amen?